It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all around the world right here on KABC.com, 790 Talk Radio. This is Gervie's Law. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And we have an exciting, exciting show. We are not in the studio, but I am here with my lovely co-host, Kerry Kasem.
This is amazing. This is you. I mean, we are literally, this conference, this convention, this is all you, Alan.
What convention could you be talking about?
The workers' comp convention.
Oh, I thought it was like the prisoners from criminal law. The criminals. No, it's actually the workers' comp convention by Work Comp Central, the leading authority in workers' compensation law throughout the country. And we are here at the Burbank Marriott, the lovely, lovely Burbank Marriott, at the Comp Law Day Awards and Gala, where a number of different facets of our community, the workers' compensation community, have gathered to bring some positive feelings into what we all know can be pretty dreary workers' compensation law. Yes, folks, all around the country, workers are suffering because we don't always have the laws that we need to help injured people get back to work. But we are here with a positive message. We have people from all aspects of the industry, including the insurance companies, defense lawyers, applicant attorneys. We have judges here. We have medical providers. We have marketing people. We have everyone right here in Burbank, California, and we are going to have a really incredible show today.
You know, Alan, I was so excited that you said we were going to do this. Why? Because I don't think you and I have ever been on location together.
We have been on location together, but not doing the radio show.
No.
Let's talk about positive stories.
I agree.
We have so many positive stories with us today, and you will want to hear the amazing feats of our guests because we have injured workers. We have the keynote speaker for this conference here with us this morning.
But you're speaking, so
I'm speaking, yes.
Wouldn't that be you?
But I'm not a keynote speaker. I just have verbal diarrhea. That's all. I'm a radio host and a lawyer, big deal. But we have American heroes. Our first guest is a real American hero. He was buried twice alive during the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And that is really something. He has been going around the country lecturing, talking to people, bringing a positive message, turning negatives into positives. And he is an incredible, incredible human being that everyone needs to meet. Later on in the show, we are bringing on my client, Julie Paez, who unfortunately suffered 2 gunshot wounds in the terrorist attacks in San Bernardino last December, right here in San Bernardino. Well, not right here, but a few miles away in San Bernardino. And she is going to tell us what it's like to have been facing this difficult recovery after the terrorist attacks. We also have Dwight Johnson on the show. He's an incredible guy in and himself because he lost 2 legs in 2 separate industrial injury accidents. Can you believe it? 2 separate accidents?
He's a great guy, though, and his shoes are amazing.
His shoes are amazing. We will talk about it. We have Becky Curtis on, and Becky, she had a near-fatal car accident, and she has come back from that amidst horrible circumstances, and she has started Take Courage coaching, helping other people who are suffering pain get back on track.
Good show today, Alan.
Well, I know you want to talk to Joe right now.
I do.
Because I can see you itching. You're sitting beside him right here at the Burbank Marriott on Gervie's Law. We want to introduce a true American hero, buried alive twice in 9/11, Joe Turillo, former Fire Department, New York Fire Department Lieutenant. Welcome to Gervie's Law. Let's have Joe explain in his own words, because a lot of people haven't heard this story. It is incredible, isn't it, Kerry?
It is incredible. And, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about that. What happened?
I was one of the first responders on the scene. I was a firefighter. My firehouse was right across the street from the South Tower. So I was there about 14 minutes after the first jet struck. I was on my way to a press conference that morning. Fisher-Price wanted to have a huge press conference. They wanted to introduce the new children's action figure, a New York City firefighter. And they said, where can we have a press conference? I said, well, let's do it at the Fire Zone. It's a new children's learning center I co-designed. We opened last year. We won an Emmy Award for it. 911 is the emergency phone number in New York City. Why don't we have a 911 theme day and introduce the new children's rescue hero? And the Fisher-Price execs thought, wow, what a great novel idea. So on 911, September 11th, 2001, at 9 o'clock in the morning, all the TV stations in New York City were waiting for me to introduce the new children's action figure by Fisher-Price Toys, Billy Blazes, a New York City firefighter. And as I was getting ready to leave for the press conference in my office and headquarters in Brooklyn, New York, somebody said a plane just hit the World Trade Center. And now I don't really know what to think. And my biggest fear was that I would be stuck in traffic and not make the press conference. But I had to zoom out of headquarters in my little department car. And about an eighth of a mile away, I saw about 8 to 10 floors of fire around the North Tower. Now I got to make a decision. What do? I got to get to my old firehouse. And I was there exactly 9 o'clock in the morning, took off this dress uniform, borrowed a set of firefighting clothing from another fireman off duty by the name of Tommy McNamara. And I put on his helmet, his boots, his gloves, his pants. And I ran out of the firehouse. I was running to the North Tower. But as I passed the South Tower, going to the North Tower, I heard a roar, and I looked up in the second jet. United Airlines Flight 175 came right over my head.
Wow. You actually saw that?
I was the only one underneath the second jet. And the first two things I said to everybody I encountered was that everybody on the top of those buildings were going to die, and I said the buildings are going to collapse. But nobody believed me. They couldn't understand why I was saying that. Nobody knew I was a structural engineer before I was a firefighter. And my biggest fear, a lot of people would die, and I didn't want to lose the ambulance crews that were setting up a triage in the lobbies of both towers, and I forced them all out, and they didn't want to leave, but I was very forceful. And underneath the South Tower, as I was outside, the building just exploded, came down. I started running as fast as I can. And the air pressure lifted me off of my feet, took my helmet off my head, a piece of steel opened up the whole back of my head. Huge slabs of concrete were just hitting my body. And now I'm buried underneath the building with all these other people who were all screaming. We couldn't see each other.
Were you conscious?
No, I was always conscious. I never lost consciousness. But all the other people I was buried with, they had all died. And a little while later, they came. They found a void. They got me out. And they put me on a stretcher. And they placed me on a boat on the Hudson River. With the anticipation of getting me out of Manhattan. And then the second tower exploded and fell on top of the boat, and I got buried.
Wait a second. I just want to visualize Kerry. So here he is, and he has been taken out on a boat, thinking that he was going to safety, and then the second tower collapses on the boat where he is.
And everybody around you died the first time. The second time, what happened?
The second time what happened was all the people on the boat with me jumped overboard into the river because they were being hit by millions of shards of glass. I broke free somehow from that spine board, stuck my hand out, felt the doorway, jumped into the doorway, ended up diving headfirst, 10 feet down into the engine room and out of the North Tower, buried the boat on the river, and I was suffocating again all by myself in the engine room. And about an hour later, I heard people jumping on the deck of the boat. They came into the engine room to start the motor, found me. The boat skipped across the river. I woke up in an operating room, but I didn't know where I was. I was in another state.
Joe, can you remember your thoughts at the moment that all this was happening? Because a lot of people say when these disasters occur that they have indelible memories of how they felt. Do you have a memory, or is it all just a blur?
No, Alan, that's a really good question. I'm glad that you asked that. The first thing I thought about was the image when I was sworn into the fire department 20 years before. I had taken a vow that I'd be willing to lay down my life so that somebody else might live in becoming a new fireman in New York City. And all I'm saying to myself, you never thought you were going to live up to that vow. You just always took it very, very lightly.
And I have a question, because he started off the story. You were heading to the Billy Blazes doll. You were getting, market this fireman from New York, a doll, and you skipped out on that. Did Fisher-Price ever release the fireman doll?
Absolutely. Billy Blazes became a huge hit. You couldn't even get your hands on him. And about 6 months later in my recovery, Fisher-Price wanted to make a talking Billy Blazes and wanted me to do the voiceover. But I turned them down. I thought if they made a Tony Soprano doll, I would do that.
Do you still get some residuals from Billy Blazes?
You know what? Yes. Yeah, we always get the residuals. Not me personally, but my education program in the New York City Fire Department.
You're the epitome of New York fireman. You sound like one. You should have been the voice. And if they ask you again, do it.
I think I would.
Okay, so good. Tell us about the recovery, because obviously people who are listening and hearing this for the first time are thinking, how did he ever recover from this? You were in bad shape, weren't you?
Yeah, it was very difficult. I had a very bad brain injury. A piece of steel opened up the whole back of my head. All my ribs were broken. My left arm was snapped in half. My neck and spine was crushed. I was bleeding internally. And it was a long recovery before I was feeling psychologically and mentally well. It took about 4 years. And after that, I decided I wanted to set out on a new mission when I was forced into retirement. I want to resurrect patriotism and kind of make our country the reunited States of America by traveling all across the country and reminding Americans in every little town, every big city, we owe no excuse to any other group of people, any other nation, to say that we are proud to be an American, because that came at a huge cost to so many people before us.
Right, right, and you were right there. Tell us how it's been going. We only have a couple more minutes, but I want to hear about your endeavors to bring the country together, because, of course, we know it's very divided right now.
Well, you know what? What I did was I took a huge American flag, and I flew it in 275 cities in all 50 states in 50 weeks. And on the 10th anniversary of 9/11, I flew that big flag at the World Trade Center in the morning, Shanksville in the afternoon, down at the Pentagon in the evening, all in the same day. And I called it the Patriot flag because it would honor every man and woman who ever served our country. It was in memory of all the victims and pays homage to every man and woman who serves their community and all the first responder organizations.
Well, congratulations for that. So tell us now, it's now end of 2016. How are things going for you? And what have you learned from this whole experience? I know you're here speaking at the WorkComp Central Comp Laude Awards, and I know you're speaking all over the country.
I think if I learned anything out of that incident, I realized how important it is to try and motivate and inspire people to have a greater love of our country. And you might be interested in knowing that I was chosen to represent the United States at the trial in Guantanamo, Cuba. I just got back from Guantanamo. I'm testifying against the five terrorists who orchestrated 9/11. I was asked by the FBI and the Justice Department to do that. And I was just asked to escort the oldest living survivor, Ray Chavez, from Poway, California, back to Pearl Harbor on this December 7th for the 75th and last official ceremony. Ray Chavez, on March 10th of next year, will be 105 years old.
That's amazing. Wow. Tell us about Guantanamo. Just before we leave, I'd like to hear how that went and what your testimony meant.
Well, the thing is, I was there for the pre-trial hearings. We're not in the actual trial, but I will be going back and being put on the witness stand as a credible survivor and an eyewitness to the attack, and they feel my testimony is going to be very important. But I was in the courtroom, and not being a lawyer, not having a background in legal proceedings, it was hard for me to digest the fact that our military attorneys are actually their defense counsel. Our military attorneys are the prosecutors. And I did an interview on MSNBC live from the courthouse back to the United States, and they asked me, well, how would you sum this all up? I said, I'm not normally at a loss for words, but I can tell you, witnessing that would be like my wife buying a dress for my girlfriend so I could take her to a Broadway show.
That is a good example.
Did the terrorists, these five guys, are they admitting this? Are they saying we did it, or are they denying it?
Carrie, that's a good question. In the courtroom, they asked us, why are you wasting all your time with this trial? We did it. You know we did it. We only wish we would have killed more Americans. We hate you. We're martyrs, and we want to be put to death.
That's really, really disturbing.
And why? Why are they wasting time? Why are they wasting time?
You know, that's a good question. And the reason why they're wasting so much time, because it really is a symbol of what the United States of America really stands for. And that's what really made me proud. As angry as it was to think that they would actually be giving a trial and being represented by our attorneys, what we're doing in that trial is we are defending the integrity of law, and nothing should ever, ever compromise that.
Great answer.
Excellent, excellent point. What a way to finish off this interview with Joe. I'm never speechless, and I'm speechless, Joe. First of all, thank you for your service. Thank you for all the great work you've done since this horrific event. And we will be watching closely as the trial proceeds, because justice needs to be done for all of our fallen fellow human beings who lost their lives and who were injured on that one day, 9/11.
And I look forward to your keynote speech later today.
Great. Yes. Alan, Carrie, thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, John. So
happy to be here at the Comp Laude Awards right here in Burbank, California. It's Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. She's Carrie Kasem, and we will be right back.
790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-900-4116. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-4116. That's 1-800-900-4116. 1-800-900-4116.
In 3, 2, 1.
Coming up on the next drive home, it's Leftovers with Jillian and John.
Do you have Thanksgiving burnout / hangover? Hashtag join us.
Excuse me.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we are back. I'm Alan Gervey. You're listening to Gervey's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'm here with Gary Kasem, and we are on location. Isn't that exciting, being on location?
It is. It is. It's the first time.
We went really far, Burbank, California, from the Culver City Studios, and we are at the Comp Laude Awards and Gala, which is put on by Work Comp Central, the leading authority in news, journalism, education, for workers' compensation in the country. This is a large conference, which I'll be speaking at later today, and I'm excited to do that. Also, I'll be handing out the award for Applicant Attorney of the Year and the Philanthropy Award. I'll be handing those out at the award ceremony later, so that's pretty exciting. And Carrie is sitting by my side, and we are talking to people right now who have unfortunately been injured on the job and have some heroic, heroic stories. And I want to talk to someone who is very special, near and dear to my heart. Her name is Julie Paez. She is my client. I must tell everyone that. But I'll tell you, she has a special story. Almost a year ago, on December 2nd, 2015, we all heard about the horrendous San Bernardino terrorist shootings. Well, Julie was there. In fact, Julie was shot twice during that terrible terrorist attack. And she lost a number of people in her department, friends of hers, colleagues, and she has had a tough road to recovery, but she has an amazing optimistic perspective on getting back on her feet, literally. And now I want to welcome Julie Paez to Gervey's Law.
Thank you.
What you went through is a living nightmare. When I was a kid, my mom and dad always told me, yeah, the boogeyman doesn't exist. You don't need to be afraid of anything. They're not out there. The boogeyman does exist. And this is terrifying. What happened?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a coworker of mine who became radicalized in Islam and decided, you know, to take the opportunity at a group meeting to come in with his wife and basically commit mass murder.
And of course, at that meeting, let's tell the audience the award that you won about a half an hour before the shootings took place.
Right. I got the program director's award of the year for, you know, employee in my job. There was two of us, one in the food inspectors and one for land use inspectors. So it was a very exciting day for me. It was an unexpected award, and I was very, you know, thrilled to get it.
And, you know, you mentioned that there were two of them.
Yes.
Tell us about the other woman who won.
Sierra Claiborne received the Program Director's Award for the food inspectors, and she unfortunately didn't make it out of the room that day.
How well did you know this man who committed this atrocity?
I mean, I knew him at work. He wasn't, I would not consider him a friend. He was a coworker. Possibly because of his religion, it wasn't like he was warm and fuzzy with women in the workplace. So,
right. But his cubicle wasn't too far from
no,
you.
No, it wasn't too far. If I said good morning, he said good morning, but he wouldn't have initiated probably a good morning with me. So he was not nasty or mean, but he wasn't an overly warm, friendly, you know, he wasn't a friend of mine, I would say.
But you worked for him for a considerable time period, 3 years?
For a few years I worked, you know, we worked as inspectors, both of us were inspectors, yes.
What happened that day? What do you remember? Do you remember all of it?
I remember everything, yeah. So we had taken a break, and my group was standing to get a group picture with my direct, you know, my coworkers that I worked directly with in my group, and we heard a loud bang at the door, not knowing what it was, thinking maybe it was someone had fallen against it or something had run into the door from outside. And Saeed came bursting through. I didn't know it was him, obviously, at the time. He was completely dressed in black with a black hood and stuff and began just spraying bullets. At that moment, I got down as well as all my coat. You know, we just ducked and covered, thinking it was some kind of drill, realizing very quickly it wasn't when things are flying around.
And then?
And I was shot pretty quickly, shot once.
Did you realize it? Because I know I've heard people say that have been shot, they didn't realize it until saw they were bleeding.
No, I felt it. It went into my lower. The first bullet burst, went straight through my pubic bone. I could feel blood and urine spill out. So I knew I was shot, and I knew it was a big place.
And then after you were shot, you were playing dead, so to speak?
I was still remaining down and playing dead, trying not to move, trying not to make any sound. Probably three or four minutes later, I came back and was shot again. I think just spraying bullets at anyone on the ground.
And you have said that you didn't think he knew who anyone was. He wasn't out for revenge against one particular person.
I didn't get that impression. It was just literally spraying bullets around the room and shooting people who were down, just shooting.
Wow. And you texted your family while this was going on?
I did. I was, you know, after I was shot the second time, and the gunfire stopped. We were waiting. You know, I knew first responders would be coming. I knew it was just a matter of time. I didn't know how long. And actually, they came very quickly. And so I was kind of planning out my recovery, my future, trying to assess my injuries. But I wanted my family to know I was shot because I knew they were going to hear that there was a shooting. They were going to figure out pretty rapidly that I was involved, and they were going to be looking for me, whether I was uninjured, injured, or possibly deceased. And I wanted them to know, at that moment anyway, I was alive, but I was shot. So I said, love you guys, was shot. So if nothing else, they heard, you know, I love them at the end.
Yeah.
Yes.
Worst case scenario, I told them I loved them. Best case, they knew to start looking at the hospitals.
Yeah, wow.
So, man.
It's such a horrible story, and to recount it, I know it's very difficult to think about it, but, and I'm getting choked up here, you've been an inspiration, a true inspiration. Even when you were in the hospital, I know your son Nick, who's a professional golfer, had said that you brought people up and you just wanted people to feel good and not to feel bad for you.
I do, absolutely. That's just, I am so grateful. I just live my life in gratitude. And even though I was shot, I'm grateful that it wasn't worse. And I'm grateful that I have a family there to support me. And I was grateful that there's so much to be grateful for. My list of gratitude far exceeds my list of things that I'm angry about.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And speaking of that, you look healed physically, emotionally.
I'm doing okay. I'm still dealing with physical problems.
Not, yeah. Believe me. Yeah. You know, and that's one of the things that people don't realize about workers' compensation.
It's deceiving, right?
People can look like they're fine, just like the average person, but you have no idea what she's been through and what she's going through.
Sure,
and we don't have to get into the medical aspects of it here, but you know, it's not only emotional. There are serious, serious physical limitations
that
Julie fights with every day and deals with on an ongoing basis.
And looking even in the future going on, things that can and probably will become exacerbated and worse in time, like the internal scar tissue that will get worse and worse in time. So it's something I'll have to deal with.
And you're still facing surgery.
Absolutely,
which, you know, when you have been shot the way you were twice, it just doesn't heal so quickly, and in this case, it really can't because your pubic bone, it was basically
blown away. I've had four surgeries, and I still have at least, well, I'm sure there'll be more down the line. One, certainly, lots of other issues. I've spent a lot of this year dealing with healing, so emotionally, I mean, there's a lot I haven't dealt with. I never got to really mourn my friends. I didn't get to go to one funeral. I was in the hospital for a month. So there's a lot that I haven't truly dealt with because I've been focusing on my own, healing.
But not only your own, what's special about Julie is that she cares so much about other colleagues, other coworkers who may not have been shot but have just totally been devastated by the shootings and losing their friends.
Yeah.
How many people were shot that are still living?
22 injured.
Yeah. And the ones that weren't shot.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell us about their plight.
Well, those who weren't shot are really dealing with some emotional trauma and PTSD. And
guilt,
they're looked at almost
guilt.
Like survivor's guilt.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And people, you know, I think sometimes people look at them like they should just be glad they weren't shot. But the truth is they experienced a horrific, horrific, you know, mass murder. And attempted murder even on them.
And you have helped them. You have been by their side. Someone who has been shot and who is dealing with a lot of very difficult physical and emotional problems, you have been there for them. And that is something special, Julie.
I want my friends to be okay. I mean, that just hurts my heart that they're struggling.
Yeah,
Do you get together as a group and talk?
We try, but so many people aren't in the place to do that yet.
Right. I mean, it's still fresh. You never get over something like this. It changes your life forever, Julie. I just want to congratulate you for being an inspiration for so many people. And, you know, I encourage you. Jesus is here, your husband. And it's just something that I feel very strongly about, that you have been such a shining example for people who have been hurt, people who have suffered.
Thank you.
We wish you all the best.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Oh, you're welcome. It's nice to be here. Thank you.
And we have another story coming up after this. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
So I always have big plans to start my shopping early. Then life gets in the way. But thanks to thecompanystore.com, I always get the gifts right. They make great homemade gifts that are perfect for everyone in my family. And if you know my family, that's a gift in itself.
TheCompanyStore.com has been perfecting the comforts of home for over 100 years, from cozy pajamas and mittens to home decor and more. Visit TheCompanyStore.com for Cyber Monday deals, November 27th and 28th. Enter the code MONDAY for 25% off your order plus free shipping.
Get to Kohl's and seize these Saturday-only deals. For her, $17.99 tops, $21.99 sleep sets, and $11.99 slippers. For the kids, girls' sweaters, just $13.99. And for your home, $19.99 twin sheet sets, $17.99 cozy throws. And the big one bath towel is just $3.99. Plus, take an extra 20% off these already low prices. And everyone gets $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. This Saturday only at Kohl's. Select styles, see store or Kohl's.com for details.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Your one-stop for breaking news and adult fun. 790 KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Gervey's Law is on remote. We are in Burbank, California at the Work Comp Central Comp Laude Awards and Gala. This is a two-day conference where everyone in the workers' compensation community come together because it's really hard to get together other times, especially when we're litigating in court. But it's nice to see my friends on the defense side, the insurance side, the medical providers, fellow applicant attorneys right here in Burbank at the convention. And of course, sitting beside me, Carrie Kasem. It's always great to sit beside Carrie.
You know, we've had a show today, quite a show.
It's amazing.
One of my favorites. Just these heroes
every
that we've had on.
Every show is your favorite.
No.
You said that last week.
No.
You know, we're talking about heroes. We have another one, yet another hero. And this is an amazing story that you all have to hear. His name is Dwight Johnson, and he has lost two legs in two separate industrial accidents. Not one, but two. And this guy's spirit is unbelievable. He has an amazing company now, and he puts together these just beautiful shoes and shirts and ties, just anything you can think of, and it's got his style to it. We can talk about it. But first of all, Dwight, I want to welcome you to Gervey's Law.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you. Tell us your story, because we've talked about injuries on the job and some devastating impact of how lives are turned upside down. You were, for 42 years, installing and designing glass for high-rise towers, and then everything ended. Tell us what happened.
7 years ago, I was in Hong Kong. I had to check out some glass that was being made for a job. I contracted a staph infection, and the next morning I called my doctor, and he said, come home immediately. By the time I landed in L.A., my left foot was dead.
Wow.
So we did the whole prosthetic thing, and they fitted me, and I went back to work.
After that, you went back to
yes,
work
sir.
With
I
a prosthetic?
Yes, sir.
Was this like the streptococcus? How did in 1 or 2 days can your foot be dead and gone? And what are the signs to watch for?
Don't know. They still don't know what the staph infection is.
Jeez.
It was amazing. It was that quick.
But your job involved so much hard work, labor, working at heights. How were you to do that with a prosthetic?
I made it work. I did sometimes 70, 80 stories.
70, 80.
Outside.
And wait a second, because I was in Dubai not too long ago, and you worked on the Burj Khalifa, because
yes,
I had dinner there.
Yes.
And now, for anybody who's not listening, and I could be making a mistake here, but I don't think I am. That's the one in Mission Impossible, right, where I think Tom Cruise is climbing it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's the tallest building
in the world.
Yeah.
And Dwight Johnson was there working on it.
I helped design some horizontals, and the last time I was there, I was at the 165th floor. Outside checking, that's what one of my jobs was, to review from the outside.
And so what happened when you lost your second leg?
My second leg was a industrial accident in New York from one of my construction sites. And I lost my leg immediately. The staph infection I had in my body jumped to that accident that I had, and I lost my leg within 2 days.
So you still have this infection
yes.
or this virus
yes,
or
I do.
In your body?
Technically, yes.
So if you got another injury, like let's say something happens, God forbid, to your arm, that staph infection could reappear.
Yes.
So how have you been able to come back from what would be an understatement to say such misfortune? People have no idea. I see people who really freak out when they get a cut on their arm or on their finger. But you've come back. You look great, first of all.
Thank you.
And I know you're so active. You're blading, you know, with your prosthetics on water, and you're hiking. You're doing everything. How do you do it?
It's the my family. I have seven children, beautiful children. Beautiful
and how wife. How many of them am I staring at right now?
Two.
Two.
Basically, they gave me the drive. I've always had the drive to work hard. So when this accident happened, the doctor said you have two options. You can either sit in a wheelchair in a corner, or you can get up off your rear and do something with it.
Wow.
I chose the latter, and here I am.
How long did it take you to start walking on two prosthetics? Because I said to you before you came on air that if you had pants on, nobody would know you had prosthetic legs.
I am still, to this date, 3.5 years later, learning how to walk. I fall occasionally. Every day I'm working out my steps. I work against the kitchen counter doing left and right, backward and forward. I'm always trying to learn how to walk.
Wow. So it just never...
It's ongoing.
Yeah.
Yep.
But how have you had the motivation to do all of these things? You're learning how to walk, but, you know, you're talking about maybe climbing Mount Rainier. And
yes. It's the way I was raised. Everything I do, I go 100%.
And with legs or not,
yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It's what's inside that counts, the will, the persistence,
okay,
the emotions.
Okay, hold on. Mount Rainier, hold on. I tried to get to base camp at Mount Rainier. I couldn't even get to base camp, and I have both legs.
You're wearing pants.
And I was wearing pants, and nobody told me that in the middle of summer, it was July, I did this for my birthday a few years ago, that there's snow there in the middle of July.
Yes.
So I'm in my tennies. Everything is soaking wet, and I'm like, I'm out of here.
That's a mistake. You walked in tennies.
Yeah.
So let's talk about shoes for a minute, because everyone stops when they see you, see what's on your feet. Explain how you've turned your negative into positive.
After I got my other right leg and I was set to go walk, we went down to a big mall so I could walk on level concrete. Immediately, everybody in the shopping center took a look at my prosthetics. I went home that day, told my wife, give me a pair of shoes and some paint, and I created a pair of shoes so you would look at the shoe and not my legs. That's how Soul got started.
Wow. Tell us about Soul now.
Soul Innovations, basically, I produce, you would send me your shoe size, your favorite colors. I would grab a certain brand of shoe, whatever you want, preferably men's or easier, and I create basically a shoe that has your grade of colors on it. It's impossible to duplicate them. I don't use a brush. It comes right out of the tube. Every shoe is an original.
Wow.
And you've done high heels. I saw some of the high heels.
Yeah, my daughters talked me into doing women's high heels.
I think it's great. I really do.
You know what we need to do, Carrie? They're amazing. We need to put it on our Facebook page with the contact information, because I know a lot of people want to just send you a request, and you can do it. You can send it out to them.
You bet.
It's like wearing artwork, first of all, for women who like funky and for women who like to be original.
If people want to write you up and to get their favorite shoe or T-shirt tie done, tell us how they get a hold of you.
It's really simple. You can call the number 702-481-8334, or you can contact us at soulinnovations@gmail.com.
And we could put that up at Facebook, too. Yeah.
We're working on a new website that will come out, and I have an app, brand new app, that's working.
How many people prosthetics actually, like, call you up and say, hey, I want to do that, too? I'm sick of people kind of looking at my leg or my arm. Or not.
I would say 50%. But I have to be careful, because people look at me and say, you only design shoes for handicapped. I design shoes for lawyers, doctors, I design golf shoes,
yeah,
hiking boots, anybody.
Anyone's shoes. Awesome. So we only have another minute here, but I do want to ask you, because one of my clients who is unfortunately a quadriplegic said to me, and it was really beautiful, he said to me, I feel special. I'm going through life in a way that not many people can. And for me, I have learned to really feel good about who I am.
Right.
Obviously, Dwight, you are the epitome of that. Tell us, if you can, what this these injuries and the results and what you're doing now, what it's all meant to you in terms of the big picture.
It's pretty simple. It's given me a new outlook on life. I look at other people. I look at myself as being very lucky. There's other people that are worse off, and I intend to help those people. I make shoes for wounded vets. I want soul everywhere because people smile when they wear them. And they'll have my smile.
Wow.
I think that's beautiful.
Amazing. Well, I got to tell you, Dwight, just another American hero that we have on our show today. And we really appreciate you taking the time here at the Complotti Awards in Burbank, coming to talk with us for a few minutes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back.
Radio 790 KABC.
Black Friday savings are still at the Home Depot, so you can go big with the gift giving without spending big. Get a Husky 200 piece mechanics tool set for just $99. It's a $430 value and comes with a 3-drawer portable steel storage chest and Husky's lifetime guarantee. So it's a gift that will be remembered for a lifetime. But hurry, Black Friday savings won't last forever. A Husky 200 piece mechanics tool set, only $99. Only at the Home Depot. More save, more do it. Valid through November 30th, U.S. only.
Does your basement or crawl space have damp, musty odors? Do you worry about indoor gases and pollutants? Everyday living generates moisture that can nourish mold and odors, even asthmatic triggers. Indoor pollutants linked to respiratory ailments, birth defects, and cancers can become trapped in your home. You can't buy health, but you can buy Wave's moisture control and air quality products. Wave Home Solutions, for a dry, healthy home. Satisfaction guaranteed. Go to dryhome123.com. That's dryhome123.com.
Good morning.
McIntyre in the morning.
With Terry Ray Elmer.
Chivalry, I like your hair and the shape of your dairy.
I have a bone to pick with you.
He played this stupid Hillary song so many times. This weekend, I had this song in my head.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine? I mean, that's worse than Dominic the Italian Christmas Donkey.
No, it's not.
I had the Hillary. Yes, it is.
Hey, jiggity jig! Hey, jiggity jig! It's Dominic the Donkey, jiggity jig! The Italian Christmas Donkey, la la la!
McIntyre in the morning!
With Terry Ray Elmer. Mornings at 5 on 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We are now privileged here at Gervie's Law to talk to another hero, someone who was injured on the job, and she has made an incredible comeback. Her near-fatal auto accident that occurred caused so much permanent disability, pain, emotional distress, and here she is, coming back, turning negatives into positives. She started the Take Courage coaching. We're pleased to have with us here on Gervie's Law, Becky Curtis. Welcome.
Thank you.
You know, Becky, tell us your story, because, you know, Carrie's sitting beside me, and she's just whispered to me during the break that she's so amazed at the will and the motivation that people have after they have these disastrous things happen in their lives.
Well, 11 years ago, I was driving through Montana, and I was in a rollover car accident. I rolled about 100 yards, and when the car came to a stop, I knew that I had broken my neck. I had a C4 burst fracture and two collapsed lungs, broken ribs, and a broken clavicle. I was taken to the hospital, and they said, yes, I had broken my neck. I'm a C4 incomplete quadriplegic.
You don't look like it.
What, okay, now explain what an incomplete quadriplegic. I know what a quadriplegic is, but what's
an
incomplete?
If I were complete, I would be in a wheelchair and I wouldn't have arms that were functioning. Incomplete means that my spinal cord was damaged, but it wasn't severed. So I have on my right side, I can't feel hot or cold, sharp or dull. And on my left side, I have spasticity and partial paralysis. And so basically at the injury time, I wasn't able to, nothing from the neck down would work. So I had to come back. My first year was in a wheelchair and had to learn how to walk and how to function. And that was a lot of hard work, but that wasn't the worst.
Did they ever tell you you may not walk again?
No, they knew right away that I probably would.
That's good.
It's crazy to think that. So tell us, you know, emotionally, how you were able to come back from something so devastating.
It was just one little step at a time and with lots of good support. I have a really good support system, my husband and my family and lots of good friends, and they helped me. Lots of physical therapy, wonderful providers, and lots of good support.
A lot of people don't understand chronic pain. They hear about orthopedic injuries. You know, you can talk about breaking your neck or, you know, breaking your leg. But tell us a little bit about what you experienced with chronic pain after all was said and done and how you've been able to live with it.
So 2 years after my accident, I developed burning nerve pain from my neck down. And I really wasn't expecting that. You know, you have an injury and you expect that you're going to get better.
Right.
And so it really took me by surprise. They discovered that it was a syrinx, which is a fluid-filled cyst right in the middle of my spinal cord that was causing the burning nerve pain.
And how did you get rid of it? Could you get rid of it?
It's inoperable because they'd have to go through healthy spinal tissue to get to it, and I don't want to lose function. And so we tried all kinds of different medications to see if we could find an answer for it. But by the time the medication was high enough to do anything about my real central nerve pain, I wasn't functioning.
What are you doing now with it? Are you still having that burning feeling?
I still have it. It just doesn't have me.
Wow. That's a great line. I have to remember that. I have to tell my clients that.
How did you overcome that? I know people with pain that are on heavy medication. They've now become, I want to say, even addicted to it. And they need more and more and more, and it's ruining their lives. How are you coping with this? Is it just mind over matter?
You know, it did ruin my life for a long time. I was sent to a functional restoration pain clinic here in California. And while I was there, I learned that pain is an experience, and all pain 100% of the time is processed in the brain. And so in the brain, it can also be undone. Pain doesn't have to be the main focus. What we focus on, we empower and enlarge. And we know that what fires together in the brain wires together in the brain. So the longer we have pain, the more we focus on it, the worse it gets.
So, Becky, we only have a couple more minutes. Tell us about Take Courage Coaching, because that's really important.
I discovered for myself the different tools and modalities that helped me take pain out of the driver's seat, and I decided I wanted to spend the rest of my life walking beside other people and helping them learn how to manage pain as well without meds.
Yeah.
And so we developed Take Courage Coaching. We're telephonic. We work with people all over the United States. I have coaches all over the United States, and we have a special training for those who want to walk beside this special group of people as well.
How can people get a hold of you for Take Courage Coaching? Because I know a lot of people, especially a lot of my clients, in pain, are beside themselves, don't know what to do, and there is help out there.
Right. They can get a hold of us at Becky@TakeCourageCoaching.com. So just Becky at TakeCourageCoaching.com.
And if people think that they're not strong enough or that they can't handle the pain, there's an actual technique that you train people in?
There's all kinds of different modalities. We work with people for a year, which sounds like a long time, but most of the time the people that we work with have had pain for a really long time. And so what we do is we give a different tool each week, and maybe that'll be the one that is helpful. One really helpful tool to me, and I'll just tell you really quickly, is just breathing from the diaphragm. It's something that's super simple, but it's a tool I have with me anywhere I go.
It's amazing that you can actually have tangible tools to help, because people think it's just drugs, and it isn't.
Right.
Becky Curtis, you are another one of the American heroes who have come back from adversity, and we take our hats off to you, because we know it hasn't been easy. And thanks for coming
here
to California and being with us here on Gervie's Law.
Thank you very much.
And now here at Gervie's Law, we are privileged to have the woman behind all of this right here at the Complotty Awards by WorkComp Central. We have Yvonne Guibert, who's marketing director. First of all, Yvonne, congratulations for putting on a great conference.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you so much.
And I know it's bittersweet this year because it's very difficult. This past year, of course, the founder of WorkComp Central, Dave DiPaolo, who has been on this show, unfortunately, tragically passed away in a motorcycle accident.
That's right. It's a somber day for us. But it's great because we're remembering his spirit. Comp Loudy is all about remembering David's spirit and keeping his spirit alive.
Tell us a little bit about that spirit, because I really feel it here.
Aw. Well, David DiPaolo really envisioned the Comp Loudy Awards as it's coming together today. He hired me 3 years ago to take a company party that was happening in the LA area and kind of kick it up a few notches and make it a national event, something that everybody in the industry wanted to be a part of and be proud to be a part of. He wanted to talk about all the positive things happening in our industry because, as we all know, workers' compensation gets so much negative attention.
Right, and this is really something special for all of us who are in the industry. It combines education, it combines networking, it combines a positive message. Tell us the elements of the Comp Loudy Awards and Gala.
So, well, you hit it on the head. The first day is all about education. And the interesting thing about our educational sessions are it's about taking all facets of the industry, all the roles that are happening in the industry, and getting all of those people talking together.
Right.
That was David's passion. He was a great communicator, great talker, great writer, and his passion was to really get all sides of the industry together and to really listen to one another. So our education day is about advocacy. It's about listening to the injured worker, understanding the things that they go through,
right,
and how we can all, no matter what our role in the industry is, what we can all do to help them get on the right path to recovery and back to work.
And, of course, we have a lot of keynote addresses. And, in fact, I'm speaking today. And tell us about what we call the TED-like talks that are going on today for the People's Choice Award.
So, again, big surprise. This was one of DiPaolo's ideas. Again, he was a great speaker, great communicator, and he loved hearing other people deliver passionate talks and stories. And so he really loved the idea of the TED Talks. And TED Talks are all about getting really down and dirty with a story, telling the story in order to move people to inspire them and to get them to want to be a part of something. So the TED Talks are all about having individuals, there's seven of you that have been selected,
right,
to give these six-minute talks and tell a story that is inspiring, moving, or in some way is just something that really makes us stop and think, wow,
yeah,
you know, this
special.
Is great to be a part of.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a great thing. There's so many elements to this that you should be proud of. And if you had a chance to talk about what this means, not only to you, David DiPaolo, and everyone at WorkComp Central, which, of course, is the leading source for information in the workers' compensation community, what would you say?
I would say thank you. We are so overwhelmed with all the positive messages that we hear. We're so happy that everybody is engaging with it in the way that they are. And the only other thing I have to say is, why are you not here? You know, next year,
right,
we want everybody to be a part of it. Nominate someone for an award. Make plans to meet us in San Diego. We're moving to San Diego next year. And just get on board.
Right.
Be part of it.
You can go to the WorkComp Central website, get all the information. Yvonne Guibert, thank you so much for being here on Gervie's Law. We appreciate it, and we appreciate all the great work you're doing in this community.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And, you know, I have to say something to you, Alan. She talks about advocacy and about how workers' comp has always been kind of frowned upon or looked down upon. You have been the biggest advocate for workers' comp with your show the last few years. So I have to say that just sitting here learning so much about it. So, I mean, and thank you for bringing me into this world, because I always thought I always had kind of like a shadow cast upon, you know, oh, workers' comp, they're fakers. And that is so not the case.
No, absolutely not. And unfortunately, it's another creation of the media. But today we heard compelling stories from injured workers. And Carrie, I appreciate what you're saying, because it is all so true. Thank you very much. And I want to thank all of you for listening today to Gervie's Law. We'll be back in the studio next week right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
On average, Angelino spend an additional 80 hours a year behind the wheel due to traffic. And while we can't help you recoup that time,